Welcome to this year's Oscar Best Picture Movie Episode Rundown.
Woo!
We're going to go through all of the Oscar movies that are up for Best Picture. We're going to talk about each of them. We've both watched all of them, either for the podcast or in our own time.
Yes.
And so we're going to discuss them. We're going to rank them. And I think maybe say like what our personal favorites were. And then I think we're going to predict what is going to win this year.
Just a classic, you know, you may have heard of this sort of thing before. Just a little classic prediction stuff, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
We just want to talk. Also, we saw a lot of movies for the podcast.
Yes.
But there's a lot we saw on our own because sometimes you just watch movies.
We wanted to see them.
Yeah.
We wanted to actually see the whole movie.
We wanted to see these movies and we didn't even know they're going to be nominated for Best Picture. Like, who could imagine Barbie getting nominated for Best Picture,
exactly.
Right? In fact, a lot of people didn't think it would be nominated for Best Picture.
That's true.
Because
certain
like,
movies shouldn't have been nominated for Best Picture, like Maestro.
Yeah, well.
Or we saw Holdovers. I didn't think Holdovers were going to be nominated for
Best
Picture.
No, I didn't
think so either. I mean, I knew it was good, but, you know, I wasn't expecting
it. Like, legitimately today, someone posted, like, I know you are posting, for those who don't know, Mike posts on his own social media pictures of every single custom-made posters of every single Oscar movie.
Yeah.
Someone else did that, but they did like a little, their drawings of little like Oscar shapes, like shapes of Oscars, and they did every one of like a theme of whatever the movie was. And I could not figure out what the fuck the Holdovers one was because I forgot it was that nominated.
Oh,
I kept looking
at
it and I was like, there's a guy with like a, he's in like a forest, he's got like a cap on. I don't remember anything being that snowy. And it's like, oh yeah. Also, I watched it during Christmas, so like, I feel like it was a different time.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I guess we should start with Holdovers. I feel like that was one we saw. I saw that one, and I saw it in like October, November of last year. And I knew I wanted to see it, but it just wasn't like, I was like, oh, you know, this movie like looks charming and cute. I'm sure it'll be fine. And like, I think it's the movie of these Best Picture nomination movies I've seen the most. I think I've seen this movie like 5 or 6 times at this
point. You were recommending it. And I was like, I've never heard of this. I feel like no one heard of it. And then suddenly everyone started to hear a lot about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. And it's really good. I loved it. It's definitely going to be a movie I want to watch for Christmas every year.
I think that's the thing is out of all these movies, that's probably the only one I'm probably going to like continually watch as a ritual, which I think is it's hard because you don't really think of you don't really think of Christmas movies ever as Oscar movies.
No.
I can't imagine Muppet Christmas movie being in the Oscars. It's nuts.
No, exactly.
Even though it's a fantastic movie,
it is a great movie, and this one's good too. I think it's like if any other year or like any other decade a movie like this would come out, it would be like the norm, right? It's like, we have like this human drama little film, you know, people are gonna go watch it, it's gonna be great. But the fact that like it's surrounded by other movies, like it reminds me of like Licorice Pizza. When Licorice Pizza came out and was up for Best Picture, it was like, this is just a good movie. Like, this isn't like the best movie of the year. It's just like a fun, you know, little film you can watch and enjoy. Whereas like Holdovers is the same, but like this is in the same league as like Zone of Interest, Oppenheimer, you know, Anatomy of a Fall, Killers of Flower Moon. It's like one of these things is not like the other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not that I'm saying it's bad.
I was just gonna say I feel like this movie does a lot more than I would say even Licorice Pizza does. I feel.
Yeah.
I someone who's not seen Licorice Pizza, I feel like
as someone who has seen Licorice Pizza,
I feel like you would even agree. I feel like
the
kind of consensus I heard from Licorice Pizza is it's a cool vibe movie.
Yeah.
Well, this is like a vibe movie, but also is like talking about basically the standards of masculinity and what it means to be smart in some ways and use that intelligence to help other people as opposed to putting them down. I think there's like quite a few lessons from that. And all three actors are amazing in it.
They
like,
are
fantastic.
Oh my God. Yeah. Divine Joy, I believe her name is. Oh my God. Just incredible as Mary. Everybody in this movie is fantastic. It's got a very small cast, which is also helpful.
It's just like, it also just fits a vibe of a movie you don't really get very often.
Yeah.
I'm sure lots of indie movies probably do this a lot more. And obviously this is a smaller budget movie. It's, you know, Paul Giamatti's not jumping out of a helicopter or anything.
this isn't Big Fat Liar.
No.
Turning blue.
No. It's nothing big, but it just evokes a feeling. And there's just not a lot of good Christmas movies. And I think this movie perfectly captures kind of the melancholy that comes around Christmas. Even if like me, I love Christmas. It's probably my favorite holiday.
Yeah.
But there is sort of a sadness to it, right?
Definitely.
I feel like if anything, Christmas marks the passage of time and every Christmas is like an important kind of event. Like, I feel like more than any other holiday, I could recall like past Christmases that happened and like the events that happened. Like, mostly because there's so many different family events.
Yes.
Well,
that's sort of what this movie's about, right?
Exactly.
It's about being around people that you care about and love. And it's like in this movie, you get three people who like don't really get along all that well. And yeah. so it's like cool to see them like gain, you know, appreciation for the other and grow towards each other basically mm-hmm. and improve themselves out of the love and respect of other people.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's a great little film.
It's a great movie. If you haven't seen it yet, you should fucking go see it.
Absolutely. That's all I gotta say. Watch it twice. It's really fun.
Watch it twice. Watch it more than once. I still got to get on that. I only watched it once.
Yeah. It's really, really good. All right. So next up on my list here is American Fiction. We did see that one for the podcast.
We did talk about that movie.
Already talked about it. So we should just move on.
Some people might be like, I don't want to listen to that shit. I just want to get a little quick hit.
Okay, fire. I didn't like it all that much.
Mike didn't like it that much. I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
I definitely, you know, we are probably going to rank these at the end, right?
Yeah, so we're going to rank them.
I still think this is on the lower end of the pack.
I agree.
I enjoyed this movie. I thought it was fun, but also that's kind of it.
Yeah.
That's kind of it. It felt like it was trying to say a really crazy thing, but it just
didn't really say anything.
It says it, and it's like, yeah, okay, we get it.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like it's more for the Oscars so white type of thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like they only pick this because it kind of like talks against that and like, trust us, look over there, we're trying to pat against how Hollywood stories with black stories and things like that.
I feel like the trailer definitely, and we talked about this a bit in the podcast, but yeah, the trailer is definitely like advertising a type of movie that I don't think this movie winds up actually like cashing the checks that were written. But I feel like if you really liked the trailers and you want to see a comedy that does what I think the trailers are trying to do, watch Don't Be a Menace. Don't Drink a Juice in the Hood. I feel like that movie does a way better job of getting across this idea.
I think they're definitely two different styles of humor.
Yeah, that's very true.
Some people may look at that and be like, oh, look, a sophisticated type of movie with biting commentary.
Dry,
and then you got
so
fucking
dry.
Weird ass... Don't
Message.
Be a menace.
All right. So next one, Zone of Interest. We saw this one together.
We did. We made a little date.
We did on a Tuesday. We went to go see this movie like after work. Mm-hmm. We wanted to see it.
That's usually when I hang out with my girlfriend on Tuesday. And I was like, babe, listen. Listen, I dedicate this day to you, but today it's Zone of Interest Day.
We wanted to see this movie for the longest time.
Yeah.
We knew we wanted to see it, and like our partners didn't want to see it.
I think I told you during Christmas I wanted to see it.
Yeah, yeah, and I was so excited you told me, because I figured I'd watch it alone. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah.
Maybe you should.
So yeah, we saw the movie on a Tuesday together, and then the movie ends, and we were both just like, well, what do we do now? Like, we talked about the movie. Like, we hung out for another, like, 30 minutes or whatever and, like, grabbed something to eat and to drink or whatever. But it was, like, it really is, like, this is not the way to start your hangout. Like,
no.
We really should have done a bit of, like, preliminary, like, comfort, just, like, hanging out.
I think we know each other enough, though. I think it was fine.
Oh, totally.
But for, like,
totally.
Other
this
people.
This is a bad first date movie.
Yeah, absolutely bad first date movie. But, yeah, the movie was crazy.
I loved it.
It was definitely, I wrote this... And my Letterboxd review.
Ooh, yeah, let's read our Letterboxd review.
No, I'm not going to read my Letterboxd review.
Oh, okay. All right.
But I'm going to summarize it and basically just say, it's the scariest PG-13 movie I've ever seen.
Because
it does the thing that horror movies need to learn. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of movies don't do this, but recent horror movies, I feel like, understand this a little bit more, but like, don't show... anything, just imply it.
Yes,
just imply it with sound.
Yeah
Which this movie has an amazing score. Like, this movie deserves every like
sound
fucking
editing.
Sound editing, sound mixing, both those things, even though we don't still
it's
don't quite
gonna
understand
win.
Them
it has to
it
win.
Has to win. There's no way.
Yeah
And maybe just because it has the most of that, but you know,
probably. But in this case, it works. Yeah,
you know, you're sitting here following.
Should we
this...
explain what this movie's about for people?
Probably.
Who seen it?
Some people might not know what it is.
So it takes place during the Holocaust. It takes place in a home that is right next to Auschwitz. It's based on like a true guy who basically
Haas.
Who basically ran Auschwitz and like built all the fucking like you know chimneys and shit like that. And basically, it's following him and his family living right next to it. And their day-to-day life of just, like, living next to hell, essentially. A hell that they are creating and perpetrating and, like, maintaining, basically.
Yep.
And you never really see the other side of the wall. You hear things.
No.
You see shit that's over the wall. And sometimes you also see, like, you know, the prisoners and stuff, you know, helping them. Like, there's one horrifying part where, like, you just see everyone laughing inside. And then one of the prisoners outside just cleaning boots and shit, you know? But like you really don't see a whole lot, and you never really see any violence like outright.
I don't think those were prisoners. I think they were just people in the village that they're like, you're okay, you have a job.
Not them. I'm talking about the guy that was wearing like the There's them as well.
But then you also see
the guy that shows up wearing, you know, the striped clothing.
Yeah.
Clearly a prisoner.
Yeah.
It's horrific. It's so good. It's honestly like we're already like starting to talk about our rankings. This is super high up for me. I'll probably never see it again. Yeah. Or if I do, it will be down the line. But like, oh my God, this movie made such a massive impression on me. Like,
I think it's really good. I do think at some points it suffers a little bit from pacing issues in some points, but it definitely is very art house in terms of the fact, like the beginning of the movie is just like,
oh
black.
Yeah,
it's just black, and then three
for like
minutes,
a minute or something.
It's like 3 minutes, I feel. Yeah. Maybe it just felt like 3 minutes.
It felt the movie literally opens. You just hear like music.
It's sound.
Yeah,
it's some sort of experimental sound. You know, it's when your buddy comes over, is like, "Hey, I've been working on something sick," and it's just you're like, "Oh man, that sure got into that DAW and really messed some settings up." But it is haunting, you know, because I think we really benefited from watching this in the theater because 100%. The sound system was ridiculous, and there were some times where literally all it was bass, and that was horrifying enough.
Yeah. Like the opening you're talking about, it's literally, and if you haven't seen the movie, like, be warned, because I remember we were watching this movie in the theater, pitch black, and you just hear this like noise, this music, the sound, and I was like, something broke. Like, this movie,
really?
I thought like something broke. I was like, the movie's not working. No. Like, something happened.
It was art, baby.
It was so fucking good. Yeah. It was so, and it just leaves you in this darkness.
I think it just already kind of like,
oh yeah,
unsettles you to like, it feels almost like a normal life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can, in some ways, you can relate to like kind of the corporate structure of just like,
yeah,
oh man, doesn't it suck to like try to get your progress, you know, kind of halted by those corporate overlords? Or you're being transferred. That fucking sucks, bro. And it's just like, yeah, I can relate to that. That sucks. And you're like, wait a second, I can't feel bad for these fuckers.
Yeah.
They're doing like, they're literally corporatizing like the probably one of the most recent mass horrific events.
Yeah.
In history.
In human history. Yeah. And these aren't just like normal people who got caught up. Like, these are people who are actively like spinning the wheels.
Yeah.
Basically.
It's not just like, oh, I happen to live here, which is kind of what I thought it would be, which also was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But it is literally like the guy in charge of it all.
And the
ending of the movie, moi.
Oh. Yes.
At first, I was like,
not
going to
spoil it.
Not going to spoil it. But at first, I was like, I don't know what we're doing. And then I was like, oh.
The final moment in this movie, holy shit. Like, honestly, that's what, like, seals the deal for me. I'm like, this is one of the greatest movies. Like, I liked Oppenheimer a lot. We'll get to talking about that. But I feel like Zone of Interest, although I kind of agree with you as far as pacing goes, just, like, just the way it leaves you is just, like, absolutely
gut
punch.
It's just such a unique movie.
It really
is.
There's
just, like, really, on the list of movies I see, I'm like, yeah, right, I've seen movies like all of these, I've definitely seen Maestro, but I don't think I've seen a movie like this done before. And it's also kind of wild to be like, hey, I feel like the thing about a Holocaust movie is like, we've got all the good ones already.
Yeah.
So it's wild to even have someone try to attempt to be like, we're going to try something different.
Because
it's like, I kind of get it, right? You know, you can go see Schindler's List.
Son of Saul is another really good one.
Yeah.
It came out a couple years ago. It's an incredible
I didn't realize
film.
That was that recent.
It came out, I want to say maybe like 7 or 8 years ago. Okay. So it's not like super, super recent.
Yeah.
But it's really fucking good. Mm. I saw that one in a theater as well. Really, really great. And to your point as well, like the idea of like what the viewpoint is. Because like, you see like Schindler's List, obviously that's from the like perspective of a person who is running a concentration camp, but like wants desperately to like save lives and do the best that he can, basically.
Uh-huh.
But like, this is just from the perspective of like evil people. Like there's, you know what I mean?
Which is weird because usually I'm kind of like, I hate seeing shit with like, oh, I'm a serial killer and here's my fucking kill and shit. Like, that's really boring to me. But I think what, not even boring, but just kind of gross. And like, I think what kind of changes this is it's just like, this isn't anything weirder than what you're doing in most people's daily lives.
Yeah.
Like, they're just existing in a kind of a similar format, just trying to provide for their family, etc. But it's horrific.
Yeah.
You know, they're just like, I'm going to do literally the worst thing imaginable just to provide.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm going to be okay with it.
And
I'm actually going to be happy for it. And all I'm going to do is think about how good of a job I'm doing.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just like you could just see how people's mind can be twisted into like just thinking that this is a-okay. You know?
In my Letterboxd review, I wrote, this movie does a good job of showing the banality of evil while never showing evil being banal. Like that's how I feel like this movie works really well. It's like you do see the day in and day out, but like it would be so easy for this movie to fall into the traps of like, oh well, you know, these are just like normal people, you know, like really sympathizing with them.
Yeah.
But the way it's shot, the way the music is working, like the way it works, it's like you never once feel like these are like just like people who like this has happened to, but at the same time, it also makes you feel like this could absolutely happen to like you or friends that you
know. It feels like going to your friend's house, your rich friend's house, and they're, you know, their family fucking sucks and they do bad things, but you're like, I guess I'll just hang out here for a bit. I kind of want to go home like really badly. Yeah. Everyone's kind of uncomfortable. But I got to be here because someone invited me and I don't want to be rude.
I agree with you. Great film. Loved
it
a lot.
Recommend it.
Next up on the list, Barbie.
What a whiplash.
I know. What a whiplash. It was really fun.
I saw Barbie in D-Box. Let me tell you.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I didn't know about this.
Yeah, I told you this.
Did you?
Let me tell you, I added nothing.
I didn't,
did it? I feel like you got to watch really stupid movies in D-Box. You can't watch movies that actually are like, hey, here's a moment where you're actually probably going to feel multiple emotional gut punches. While also having the fucking back of the seat thump you in the back. Jesus, it was a lot.
Christ. What movie do we see in D-Box together? I can't even remember.
Was it one of the Godzilla? No, it was Avengers 2.
It was, that's right. It was a terrible movie. Age of Ultron. Terrible film. Awful night. No, great night because I got to hang out with you.
That's true.
Other than that,
and
bad.
We got to hang out in D-Box.
Yeah, that's true. So yeah, you saw it in D-Box. Did your partner see it in D-Box?
Yeah, she thought it was fun, but then she was like, this is a lot. This is like, at the beginning, it was kind of fun because it was like, oh, we're having a cool dance party, and you get to see like the seats swing with the camera, and it's like cool, but then it just kind of got weird. I don't know, it
didn't really add too much.
I should just put with a straight action movie. I just wanted to know what they would do. Besides that, movie's really good.
It is really good.
I really like that movie a lot.
I
think it's wild that I saw a TikTok trend of girls showing this to like their guy friends and them being bored out of their mind. I'm like, how can you be bored during this movie? How?
I hate this shit. I've seen so many people, and it's really aggravating. I've seen a lot of men go like, this movie just isn't for me, you know? Like, yeah, you know, it's fine, but it just wasn't for me. And I'm like, this is a movie about humans, beings. Like, this is a movie about men and women. Like, it's not, what do you mean it's not for you?
If anything, it's really for men.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, there's a whole scene, one of the parts, in fact, maybe the Oscars overshadowed this.
Yeah.
Is a whole scene, you know, the whole dance number with fucking like a man just trying to reckon with himself. You know, that he's okay, you know, and talking about masculinity, always trying to push men to do and be productive and provide and blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, you
it's
can just
crazy.
Exist.
It's crazy to me that a man can watch the movie and go, like, oh, this is fucking boring. Who is this? This is not for me. And I'm just like, what are you talking about? This isn't for you. You're right. There's literally half of the movies Ken, you know, dealing with masculinity and his feelings towards like, you know, not feeling enough, you know, for women or whatever.
Also, Margot Robbie's on the screen. She's hot as hell. Like, come on, guys. She's right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if you're a fucking bro dude, like, well, pretty lady. Come on.
I know. I that's what's so, it's weird to me. Yeah, I almost feels like, I don't know. It almost feels like, I don't know. I don't want to say like people are faking it, but it's like I also watched the movie, really enjoyed it.
But it comes down to like, you know, when you get dragged to a movie, you're not really wanting to watch it. People
sure.
just shut off or be like, I'm over my disposition to this is not to be open. And I feel like that happens with a lot of men because of the masculinity issues
that the movies actually talking about.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
You know, says, you know, the patriarchy a couple times, and they're like, oh, this might be me.
That's so funny to me, too. Yeah, that whole
Ben
argument.
Shapiro was so sad, you know?
It's like, can you believe they actually talk of the patriarchy? I'm like, why wouldn't they? Like, it's weird. It's like these people who are like, oh, fucking trigger words. And it's like they mention patriarchy in a movie and they flip the fuck out. You know? I thought it was really good. I really enjoyed it.
Glad it was such a hit. Like,
yeah, same.
I'm glad it's such a hit. But the problem is that whatever sequel they're going to make is just not going to be, you know, the same level. But like, this is so much more of a bigger deal of a movie. I feel like I'm very happy that this kind of like, you can have a branded movie like this actually with, you know, in the hands of a capable director and a capable writer, and they could actually like go wild with it and take swings. Like, I think you can really make like big budget, goofy ass movies really say something and have an emotional impact. Well, it's just like, that just is hard to find in something that's literally just set up now to make, you know, the next movie happen, right?
It reminds me a lot of like the Lego movie, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, this movie just is obviously a commercial for Legos, right? but it's like it's doing something with it. You know, it's having fun. It's saying something a bit deeper than, you know, it's not just about the toy. And also Will Ferrell's in it and he plays a guy that runs the board. So.
Yeah, that's true. Playing an adult. He's in every toy movie now.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, maybe we'll see what they can do with Rock'em Sock'em Robots, I guess.
That's the biggest cynical like swing of this movie, too, is like now that this movie is a massive success, they're just going to milk the idea of like toys. People want to see movies
people
about
toys.
People
want to see nostalgia. And it's just like, do you not understand that? Like,
that's not what
people
wanted here.
Quality films, but
yeah.
Right, that's
yeah.
Fine.
Speaking of quality films, Maestro.
Yeah, Maestro, huh? Maestro, look, it's not a bad movie. It's just not very good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just the most okay. It's like, mid. If you're into the character and you're into the character, well, I'm making
the
it
actor,
sound like you're
the person.
The person.
Yeah, the human being.
If you're into Bernstein, then you might get something out of it. But I think for the rest of us who want to learn more about like Bernstein and what he did, and the movie really doesn't hold your hand at all. It just is like, here's this little reference here, here's this little reference there.
You're right.
And I think that's, you know.
Well, so there's nothing wrong with not holding your hand and just like letting the thing come to you, right?
Yes.
But then it's like, well, what is that even in service of, right?
Exactly.
It's like, oh, so now we don't get to know who he was as an artist or as a person. Very exciting. So like, what the fuck do I care, you know?
Exactly.
It's like, yeah, let's not let, you know, his great works of art get in the way of him as like a human being, as like as a husband, as a father. And it's like, oh, I guess we're not going to see that either. So like, what was this about? You know what I mean? So,
and I think the movie just suffers from what a lot of biopics do.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep banging this drum, which is just don't show the entire life of a person. Show a moment. Show how they reacted. I think it paints a better picture of a person than literally being like, through the ages is what happened.
Yeah, that's why some of the best biopics, it's like Jobs is a great biopic.
Jobs is interesting, too, because it kind of almost does do that.
Right.
But it focuses around like three moments.
Exactly. And how the moments are responded to the other ones.
Exactly. Which is a very interesting take. And I think it works.
Yeah. Social Network's another good one where it's not necessarily about like Mark Zuckerberg. It's about his creation and his creating the thing, you know?
Yeah.
I totally agree with you. All right. Oppenheimer,
little Oppie. So we went to
another movie about a man doing a thing, you know?
It's true, but it was only one moment.
That is true, just him making the bomb.
Yeah, I don't think there was any other. I'm trying to think if I saw like young Oppenheimer. Not really.
You see him in college.
I guess, but it's only for like a minute.
Yeah, that's
you know?
True.
Like
that's
it's just
true.
A little bit of hindsight.
You see him making the bomb, and then you see him responding to the bomb being made, and that's pretty much the whole movie.
That's pretty much the whole movie. Yeah. We went to go see this in IMAX. We wanted to go see it
we were going
to
see it on film.
In the film version.
70 millimeter.
We
paid fucking good money.
We live next to one of the only, like, 50 in the nation.
Yeah.
Film IMAX theaters.
Yep.
And we went
with
on the
real
day
true
of,
IMAX.
Yeah, the real true size, the film. We went there, got there, and they're like, sorry, the film fucking exploded. Like a bomb?
Yes, yes.
And blew up the projector, and so we have to get a new projector, and we have to get a new film.
Yeah,
so
yeah. So you're not going to see it.
So we got a refunded ticket, and we watched it in the non-film
film
one. We saw it in IMAX still, which
still
is still gorgeous.
IMAX. Still saw it in digital, but... Man, I really want to see
a bummer.
Film.
Such
I know.
A bummer.
And now we'll probably never see it ever on film ever.
I'm sure they'll re-release it. They just did Tenet, right?
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Maybe they'll come back with it
another
again.
Oppie. I want to see
an
it
actual
so
good
bad.
Movie instead of Tenet. Listen to that podcast.
Yeah, I feel like other than like I really like Memento, obviously, but and obviously like Dark Knight's really good too. But I feel like Nolan's best later work is all based off like historical.
Dunkirk is really good.
Dunkirk, right? And that one and this one too. I feel like if you give him now, it's like he wants to fucking like blow your mind with like how can you tell a crazy story, but it's like no, sometimes you just need to like give him like a historical figure or moment and he can do wonders with it.
And this is interesting because unlike like Dunkirk kind of have like a gimmick to it too,
yeah,
right?
That's true, that's
like
true.
A little
it's
bit
all
of
about
a
time
gimmick. It's all about the time stuff,
yeah,
which is cool. I think it worked for that movie. This doesn't really have a gimmick, it's just the movie.
It does
it's,
bounce around a bit and it does change from color to black and white, but
I mean I guess, but it's not really a huge gimmick. I feel like that's every movie, every RC movie does sort of something like that, you know? They're like, well, we changed the aspect ratio. It's like, oh my god,
oh
it's
my
like,
god, fucking Wes
that's
Anderson.
Not crazy as like this is time to like a fucking bomb and it blows off or whatever, like this whole thing's in reverse, you know? It's nothing crazy like that, which is surprising because the movie's just a really fucking solid ass.
It's so fucking good.
Film about this guy just doing like one of the craziest things imaginable.
Changing the world.
Changing literally the world.
And then regretting it.
Yep.
I love that, man. I'm a big fan of a guy doing a thing and then he immediately regrets that thing he does.
Oh no, it's relatable, Mike.
It's so relatable. I fucking love it so much. Oh, it's the best shit. And like, oh my God, Cillian Murphy. That's how you say his name. he's so fucking good at just looking so sad.
Yes, he does.
Oh my God. Like, obviously, like, early in the movie when he's like a fucking playboy and he's like, you know, fucking like Florence Pugh, like he's having a grand old time. And then you see him at the end of the movie and he just looks like fucking, like, he looks like a skeleton. Just, like, he does haunted. Look like a
little skeleton, man.
And it's like amazing.
It's funny how you can take those cheekbones from being sexy to being haunting.
Yes.
At the same movie.
Oh, he's so good.
He's really good.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Glad
Everyone's
he stuck
amazing.
Around for all the Scarecrow roles.
I know, seriously. He finally got something. And he was Inception, too.
That's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah, Florence Pugh's really good. Emily Blunt was in it, right?
Emily Blunt's in it. She's really, she's yeah, really good. Good question. Emily Blunt's in this movie, right? She is in the movie.
No, she's really good in it. I just couldn't remember if it... I get her mixed up with someone else.
Oh,
I just
okay.
want to make sure I got the right person.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah, she's in the movie. It's the wife. She's very
Robert
good.
Robert Downey Jr.'s in it. Trying
He's
to redeem
really
him,
good.
Tried to redeem himself from Iron Man.
He's doing it. He's doing a pretty good job. Fucking everyone's in this movie. Fucking, like, one of the Safdie brothers in this fucking movie. Mm. Like, Josh Peck from Drake and Josh is in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
He's the one that fucking presses the button, yep. like, drops the bomb. Like, every motherfucker shows up for this. Yeah. And they all do a really good job.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm so impressed by with this movie. Is like, it's a big... We're obviously... Maybe we should talk about Killers of the Flower Moon after this, because it's kind of similar, where it's like, it's a big movie that has to do a lot and introduce a lot of characters, a lot of history.
It's very long.
Very long. But, like, it does a good job, and so does Killers, I think, of, like, really telling this really big, complex story in a way that it's centered around how it affects just, like, this one guy, you know? Like, how is it affecting Oppenheimer?
Yep.
How does this affect poor Oppie, you know?
Poor little Oppie. Poor little Oppie. Not the rest of us who all have to live in this world.
Or, you know, the people that the bomb dropped on or anything.
Yep.
It's all about Oppie, yep. you know? It's all about how it affects this poor guy. How does he sleep at night? Yeah, I don't man. I fucking love this movie a lot. It was really fucking good.
Yeah, it was a really good one. I really liked it. Yeah. I have been wanting to watch it again recently.
Me too.
Yeah,
I will say though, for pacing, I do feel like it sort of starts to like run. I feel like the pacing is kind of crappy, but like near the end a little bit.
Really? Because I felt like in the middle kind of was like...
Maybe in the middle. There's some pacing issues.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I think it's a little long. Could have been trimmed a little bit, but... Yeah. I also think staying in that moment and seeing his mindset's also kind of important.
That's
too.
True. I think that's honestly one of the other problems. I feel like there's not enough moments in the movie of just like silence. The movie's like wall to wall
music.
Moves,
man.
Yeah, it's. I just want to see. Although the moments where it does slow down, like
that's
the
great.
Moments.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I'm not going to spoil anything, but there's one moment like near the end when the bomb drops.
Mm-hmm.
No spoilers that a bomb drops,
know,
but when
crazy.
The bomb drops,
there's a moment in the theater where a guy just went, "Holy shit."
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Because it was dead silent. Yeah. Just go, holy shit. Yes. I was like, this is why I watched this in movie theater.
That shit fucking rocked.
To be fair, yeah. It was very impressive on a big screen.
It was. That movie rocks. I liked Oppenheimer a lot. Shall we talk about Killers of Flower Moon?
Yeah, speaking of another movie that's a real banger. This is one of those movies that I'm like, I want to watch again for sure.
Same. I still need to see the end. You need to see the beginning. Yeah. So Honeybees, who was on a couple episodes ago, a few episodes ago, quite a while ago, they were telling me that there was something that we missed about the movie, obviously because of the way that the movie split up, but something that I found really interesting. So there's a moment where what's her name? Maggie? The main lady.
Yeah.
Right. She gets pregnant.
Uh-huh.
Right. And she's sick, but she gets pregnant.
Okay.
And then I mentioned, it was in my half of the movie, I mentioned that like Robert De Niro was really upset because she might die in her pregnancy, you know, and that would affect her dying before their other sisters.
Uh-huh.
But what I got wrong was he wasn't upset that she was pregnant because you might die prematurely. He was upset because if she's pregnant, that's another person they are going to have to kill in order to get to the money.
Oh.
They're like, we now have to kill that child. Which is like way fucking darker than
Wait,
I thought.
Wait, but then she already have kids?
Yeah, but they, I mean, he was fine with that. He just didn't want to kill. It was like, now we have to kill another kid too. You know what I mean?
Oh, gotcha.
Movie's good.
Yeah, real grim shit.
Oh, I loved it.
Grim shit, but like, I don't know. There's something about the way the vibe, like, zone of interest is there to be like, you're going to feel fucking bad. You're going to feel weird. You're going to feel awkward this whole time.
Yeah.
Scorsese does like a weird dance of like, this is the most like pretty horrific stuff that people are inflicting upon these other people.
Yeah.
And it kind of was like, it makes it kind of a fun watch.
That's what Scorsese does.
It's so wild.
But it's what I love about this movie, because it's like, what Scorsese is like, what, fucking like 90 years old?
Yeah, he's
And he's
old.
Still re-examining the types of movies he makes. Because like, this is, like I said in the podcast, this is like a gangster movie. Like,
it is.
It's a movie following around villains.
People doing crime.
Doing crime and getting away with it. And it makes it look like, it makes it in moments look fun.
But it also shows the victims a lot more in this and
exactly.
highlights them and it actually like goes from their perspective. And I think that is a re-examination of kind of the movies he makes, right? Like,
it would, yes, 100%. And it would be it would be insulting for this white guy to go like, I am going to represent the Osage Nation, you know,
and so, only show Robert De Niro.
Right. So it's like, obviously he's going to focus it on like the villains because like he relates to them because he's a white guy, you know, but it's like, I don't know. I really enjoyed this movie a lot. It's up there with Oppenheimer and Zone of Interest as far as just like fucking bad vibe films.
Good bad vibes.
Yeah.
But this thing is, this is a movie I want to watch. Well, I don't really want to rewatch Zone of Interest. You know
which
what I mean?
Is it's funny because it's much shorter. But yeah,
I'm like, all right, give me those 3 hours. I want to see what my dumbass Leonardo DiCaprio is up to.
It's because of fucking music and fucking the Killers of Flower Moon. It's goddamn awesome.
Well, I watched like part of the beginning again because I was editing sound for the podcast. Mm-hmm. Like, this is really a movie. This is fucking, it sets fucking you in,
boom,
man.
Boom, 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 yeah. Boom, 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 boom. It's fucking awesome. All right, next movie, Poor Things. We saw this one together as well.
We did see this one together. We saw this on New Year's.
We did see it on New Year's with our partners.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking awesome. I loved it.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
I really liked it. Loved how it looked.
I feel like I've cooled on it a little bit, though.
Oh, really?
Over time. All like, right. I still like it. Yeah. I'm not saying it's a bad movie. But in the end, I'm kind of just like, what are we doing here? You know? Like, I don't know. All these other movies I'm, like, thinking about and, like, going through in my head. Poor Things, I kind of forgot I watched.
Wow.
Which is weird. Like, Holdovers, I also mentioned I didn't. I do remember that more.
Right, though.
I was thinking about Holdovers as, like, a different style of movie. Like, but Poor Things... No. I mean, I liked it. I think it's a beautiful movie. I love the way it looks. I love the set design is incredible.
The costuming.
Costume's amazing.
Yeah.
But story-wise, I'm just kind of like...
There's not much to... Like,
no.
It's really just like following this person, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's not really a drive. Like, she's... Because all it is just self-discovery, the entire film.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which, if you're down for that, like, this is one of my wife's, like, favorite movies of the year. She, like, this is one of her favorites. And it's just because you just follow this person, and it's like, you see her, like, failing, and you see her being misled, and you see her being manipulated and lied, and then at the end of the movie, it somehow works out, you know? Somehow she winds up finding people that, like...
Fucking spoilers, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to spoil exactly how it works out, but things work out, you know, in her favor. And it's, like, nice to see that kind of thing. It's, like, she fought, and she learned, and she wound up, like, it wound up working out for her, and that's really good, you know? And it's not like she had to change the world in order to do it, but, you know, things worked out. And so I can see that. And but, yeah, as far as, like, plot-wise, yeah, there's not really, like, a driving force to
it. I just feel like so many of these other movies we've seen this year, like... There's just so much more to chew on.
There's
so much more to think about. So much more to like think about character motivations and what would I do in this situation? Well, this movie's like, it's so bizarre, which I love. It's so bizarre, like I can't really relate to it though.
In some ways. That's fair.
The situation's so absurd. And I think it's a really fun world.
Yeah.
And
the characters are absurd too.
The characters are absurd. The situations are absurd. The world is absurd.
Yeah.
In a great way. I love watching
in a fun
it. Like
way.
It's so entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
But then it's just kind of over. It kind of feels like in a weird way, like a popcorn flick. You know, like I'm like, this is such a feast for the eyes, a feast for the senses.
Yeah.
And it just is just like a fun kind of like self-discovery story that it just at the end is like not something I think about or leave with, which I think is American Fiction said that, you know, you got to have a real, what is it? You have to think about.
I don't know. I didn't see this type of the movie.
Art is decided by like how much. It impacts you later on.
Oh, I see what you're saying. And this one just didn't do that for you. Didn't
really
leave you with much.
No. Yeah. But I still like it. I still think it's a good movie.
Music's really good, too.
I don't remember the music, to be honest. I don't remember the music.
All right. Well, talking about a movie that leaves you with stuff to chew on, Anatomy of a Fall. You just saw this very recently.
We did just watch it. This is the movie I was like, I got to finish this one up so I could talk about it.
Yep.
For this podcast. I liked it quite a bit.
It's really good.
I liked it quite a bit.
Yeah. I really liked it a lot. It's not what I was expecting.
I was
expecting more of like a mystery, like Hitchcockian courtroom drama. There is aspects of that, but really it's not really like a mystery as much as it's more like an examination of how like
the justice system works.
Justice system works, but how like a private life can be put into public and be re-examined by people who are not there. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
Like obviously, I think this gives shades of like the like Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial sort of situation where it's like who's a victim, who isn't, who can you believe, who can't you believe? The woman is hysterical. The man is hysterically funny. You know, it's like there is definitely a gendered coded way that this movie is like approaching the idea of not just the justice system, but truth in itself. Like I think people are quick to judge women, are quick to, you know, blame women and quick to like come to the defense of men, especially if, you know, in this case, this is not a spoiler, he dies, you know, so he's willing to like, you know, feed this narrative of this person being like not a bad guy, but maybe just misunderstood.
I think it's really good. I think it also drew me in because I am not a huge fan of courtroom type dramas. Usually I find like Law and Order quite boring. I want the chaos and fun is what I'm looking
for. Of a French courtroom.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. So seeing the difference maybe that kept me interested is seeing how different a French courtroom operates compared to like the standard American justice system. And obviously this is one example of it. Like obviously.
Who knows even how realistic
exactly,
it is.
Exactly. Yeah. But I was still entertained the whole time because it doesn't just play with the fact that like who done it. It maybe plays with more of the fact of like why.
Yeah.
Why are we here? And I think that's a core point of the movie is that we always look at like how it was done when it should be looking at why it was done. Anything was done.
Right, exactly.
Etc. Which I think is a fascinating way to look at crime or any sort of like tragic event. Or just like you're just have this like horrible ass accident happen to your family and then you have to spend over a year in court just trying to say I didn't kill this person.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, even if depending on whatever you think the person did or not,
right.
It's still like all of that is just so traumatizing and it pulls apart a family. And changes their dynamic regardless of whatever happened. Like, and it already was going to change the dynamic because you just had a horrible tragedy happen.
Yeah, exactly. Like everyone was able to witness it too.
Yeah.
You know, like she has a son, the son's there to see it. You know, it's like, this is already something you have to deal with. And I'm sure when at the beginning of the movie, none of this is a spoiler, when, you know, the husband winds up dead and everyone runs up to the body and is like looking at the body, the last thing she was suspected is like, I'm going to have to prove in court that I didn't do this.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even though it's like, oh yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But it's a great movie. I really liked it.
It's really, really good. Acting in it is fantastic. The main actor in the movie, she's also in Zone of Interest as the wife. She's so fucking good in both of them. Like,
yeah.
Oh
and
my
she
God.
She has a great dog in both of them.
She has a great dog in both of them, too. I didn't even think about that.
I got to say, the one in this movie is a little bit better because it's not Nazi.
That's a very good point. Yeah. There's one scene. I don't think we talked about it, but there's one scene near the end of the movie with the dog. I'm like, how the fuck did they do that?
Oh yeah. The dog acting.
The dog acting. In this
no
movie
one talks about how good the dog acting is. Well, people have been talking about
people have been talking obsessively about how good
the
dog is.
Acting is like,
dog acting is good. Son. He's incredible
he's
too.
He's really good. But let's go back to that dog. They need
that dog is fantastic.
They need to create a spot for the dog acting. Cause like number one dog, I was just like, how did they get the dog to do this? Like, this is crazy.
Yeah. That ending scene. I was like, did they give it? I don't want to spoil it, but yeah, I'm just like, how did they do that? Like,
apparently, it can just do that.
Really?
Apparently, it was just trained to do
really?
That. It is a border collie. Border collies are extremely smart, so they you can probably train them.
It's been kind of cute because this dog's also just like on the like is along with them with like the Oscars and shit. Like, this dog's going like on the carpets. And,
is it?
Yes,
that's amazing.
It's going on the carpet.
It seems like the most trained
and usually
dog
dogs
ever.
Aren't allowed on the carpet.
No,
yeah, you have to clean it up. This dog is going on the carpet.
It's very true.
Yeah, it's very cute. Niagara Falls, really good.
It's a good movie.
And then the last one's Past Lives, which you already talked about.
Past Lives.
Beautiful film. Beautiful film.
That's another movie I really want to watch again. Like,
yeah. I want to watch it again, too.
It's so good. It's so good. It's got such a good vibe to it. Mm-hmm. It's such a quiet, understated movie. And I think we're talking about kind of, in my mind, this is like the polar opposite of Poor Things. Because Poor Things is a visual spectacle. There's nothing really that crazy good looking in this movie. Like there's some good, nice shots.
It's all shot on film.
But like it's such a quiet, intimate movie about like history and the past and relationships
and what it means to care about somebody.
Exactly. Yeah. It's so understated and so beautiful that it's just like this is just a movie that's working with just both on terms of like just pure acting and pure writing. Like there's not much else here that you're going with, but it's so strong in those elements.
Yeah.
That I can't help to be like, this is just a really good one.
I could also see a movie because like it is really well shot, but I can see this movie being overshot, right? Where it's like they put too much effort in, not too much effort, but like too much into the frame.
Yeah.
The composition.
But it wouldn't feel
grounded,
right?
No. Like it's just like that restraint honestly goes to show the level of artistry the movie actually did.
Yeah.
Because like so much of this movie is like long takes, you know, they lock the camera off, they barely move it. You know, and if they do move it, it's a very subtle, like, you know, pan or turn or track or whatever. It's just really great. It's like that's solid fucking filmmaking right there. You don't need it to be, you know, super loud and showy, you know, because that doesn't work with the picture.
The loudest and showiest thing is an amazing old Skype interface.
Yeah, like, that was the one thing that really made
that
an impression
really
on
blew
you.
Me away, man.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, there's some detail in this movie. Really good.
So should we start ranking them.
Sure.
This is going to be really fucking hard. I feel like last year it was really easy to put like Elvis and shit and like Top Gun.
Oh, yeah. You think so?
Yeah. This one's going to be tough because, like, I mean, I want to put. It's going to be hard. I mean, the bottom two is going to be hard because it's a race to the bottom between, for me, Maestro and American Fiction.
Well, I'm going to put, I mean, I think I disagree with you a little bit more on there. So okay. I would probably put
Maestro below American Fiction.
Yeah. All right. To be fair, that's my thought.
That's fair. And on my personal ranking, I would put American Fiction maybe below Maestro.
Really? Yeah. Why would you do that?
Because I like the makeup in Maestro.
So that's what pushed you over.
That's
huh?
what it is. I just really like the makeup, and I do. I think the direction in my show there's some really good
shots. There are some beautiful shots in that.
Yeah,
I definitely cannot say the same about American Fiction. I just think American Fiction is more fun to watch.
That's
but,
fair. That's fair. Know. That's fair. Yeah. Hey, man, that's why, you know what? Tied for last. How about that?
I think that's very fair. Okay, sorry, cool. I'm trying to get the list out.
It's
here.
It's all good, man. Don't worry about
it. If I was a good producer, like these people, I'm deleting their names from right now. We need. If I was a good producer. I would have this all ready to go and set up.
We need to get like an intern or something to help us out with this stuff.
Get an intern. Yeah, let's get so an we intern. Can have someone else who isn't paid on this podcast. Then it feels lonely, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. People like to hear us talk about movies.
Steven Spielberg, producer on Maestro?
He was originally going to direct it. Him and Scorsese were both in line to direct. And then they were like, you know what?
We saw the script and they're like, you know what? We're good. They're like, actually not a lot here.
Let's
huh?
give it to, let's give it to Cooper.
Why don't you do it yourself? Yeah, huh? You're exactly. so adamant about it.
And then he heard, do it yourself. I'll do everything myself.
Okay. So for our list, I'm going to put Maestro at the bottom
and American Fiction also American at the
Fiction
bottom.
American Fiction also at the bottom. I'm fine with that.
All right, cool. All right, now we have a big jump to the Ooh. Rest of the movies.
Yeah, we
kind of do. I think you're going to put Poor Things next, right? That's what it's sounding like to me. I don't know.
That's a tough one. I'm looking at an Anatomy of the Fall, Barbie, Holdovers, Killers of Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things.
I know, this is a
Zone
tough
of Interest.
One.
I feel like Poor Things is kind of at the bottom of this.
That's fair. I was going to put Barbie.
I was going to put Barbie right above it.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
We're fucking mixing it up, man. This is
just
fun.
A little bit. Pretty close, though.
I'm loving this. Yeah, I'd put Poor Things and Barbie. I'd flip them, but that's totally fine.
Are you okay with me?
Dude, that's all good, man. We're good. Wait. Okay, we should actually start making decisions here because we can't have two lists. So
I'm making a decision. I'm putting it down here.
No. But we need to come to an agreement here where it's like, either American Fiction goes last or Poor Things goes above Barbie. We need to make that sort of decision.
Why do we have to make it even like that? Why can't we just have it my way?
You fucking asshole.
Why can't we just have it my way? I don't get it. Yeah, Maestro, American Fiction, Poor Things, and Barbie. Here's the thing. Here's my argument for Barbie.
Mm-hmm.
Barbie actually is making an impact on the world and people are watching it and feeling like they're connecting. I don't think any motherfucker watched Poor Things and is like, oh, man, that's me, dog. I don't know if they feel it as much, you know?
My wife did.
That's fair. That's fair, but I also think she felt the same
about
Barbie.
She might be in the minority, possibly.
We're talking about someone who isn't here, though, Mike.
That's true. I'm not going to
speak talking
for
about
her.
The entire population.
Barbie did win a participation trophy at the Golden Globes.
Exactly. Barbie also has not won a lot of things.
That's true. So the one thing it should win is fourth place in our arbitrary list.
Yep.
Or fourth last
Listen,
place.
If there's one thing I could give it is the honorary
mid-tier.
Honorary mid-tier of the Best Picture movies.
All right, fine. Let's put it there. The one thing I'll say about Barbie to put above Poor Things, I will say, is Barbie is co-written and directed by a woman. Poor Things was not.
Yeah.
Poor Things was written and directed by men. Mm-hmm. So if we want to talk about a movie centered around a woman, we would have to put Barbie above it.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go, baby.
It's totally fine.
There you go. All right. I win my argument. That's why I win by arguing. Yeah, Mike. I don't win by
conceding.
That's
right. I made the argument for you.
I made an argument for that. And then you also were like, well, actually, I thought about it a little bit.
All right. So now comes the hard part.
Ugh, yikes.
Oppenheimer, Zone of Interest. I mean, okay, we have to put Holdovers next, right? I love Holdovers.
Really?
But I think
I was
so.
Gonna put it higher.
Sure, you didn't even like it that much either.
I liked it a lot. What are you talking about?
You said it was just okay. You said it was.
I never said it was just okay.
You said it was just okay, but you said you didn't love it as much as I did. I guess is what I was saying.
Maybe
I'm mistaken.
Maybe
I must be mistaken.
I don't remember that.
That's fine.
I really
That's
liked
fine.
It a lot.
All right, good. I liked it a lot too. Wait, so wait, what do you want to put below Holdovers? Like Anatomy of a Fall or Past Lives?
I'm thinking Oppenheimer or Anatomy of a Fall, honestly.
Really?
Yeah. I think you like Oppenheimer more than I did.
I loved Oppenheimer, yeah. So, okay, I'm willing to put Anatomy of a Fall below Holdovers. Okay. I loved Anatomy of Fall, but I'm willing to put too. Holdovers above Anatomy of a Fall. But I want to put Oppenheimer above Holdovers. I think that Oppenheimer just did a bigger deal. I think it just made a bigger impact.
Stop using my argument against me.
I think more people watched Oppenheimer. People don't even hear about Holdovers.
That's not what I meant. They're going for two different things, Mike.
I think Oppenheimer is a better film than Holdovers. I think Holdovers is very solid. I think
how many
times
you watch Holdovers?
I saw it like 5 times.
How many times you watch Oppenheimer?
One. But Oppenheimer is a better film. It's a better movie.
Why don't you watch it more then?
Because Holdovers is a much easier film to watch.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
One is like, yeah, I've gone to McDonald's way more than I've gone to any other, like a really good
okay,
diner.
There's a cost thing involved. These both cost the same amount of money. It's like saying I eat baby carrots as opposed to big carrots, you know? Big carrots are hard to eat.
I eat baby carrots instead of big carrots.
Baby carrots are all cut up. They're easy to eat.
They're doing the same thing. I'm not going to choke on those.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be like, oh my God, I'm getting existentials. I'm shoving this carrot down my throat. What have we done as a society, yeah, this earth?
Times have changed. I'm eating a big carrot. Not even chewing on it. Come on. Holdovers is a great film. As for somebody who loves it, I love it. But like, man, Oppenheimer is just like, it's doing so fucking much. It's doing it so well. Like, and it tells such a big story. Like, I don't know. I mean, whatever.
Are you giving up? Because I was going to, I was also going to concede, but you sound like you're
going to. Go ahead and concede then.
If you feel that passionate about it, I'm okay with it.
All right.
I liked Holdovers a lot. I loved it. I'm probably going to watch it more. You know?
Okay.
I'm gonna
watch you it should. More. You should watch it more.
I'm going to watch it more. I'm going to watch those three great, amazing actors work.
Yeah, that's right. Let them cook.
Let them cook.
All right. Oppenheimer. So now we've got Zone of Interest and Past Lives?
Past Lives
and Killers of the Flower Moon. All right, so I kind of want to do it. Past Lives, Zone of Interest, Killers of the Flower Moon. That's what I'm feeling.
That's kind of what I was thinking too.
Right? Okay. I'm happy with that. I'm happy with that.
It feels weird putting Killers of the Flower Moon at the top. I don't know why.
Wait, it doesn't feel fair?
It feels weird.
Why?
I don't know.
This is a director at the top of his game, at the top of his craft.
He's always been at the top of his game.
But he's improving. Like the last movie you saw of his was like The Irishman, which was a good movie, but like, come on.
This is better than Irishman.
This is a marketed improvement. And it's like, this is a way harder film to kind of make. Like, this is a movie about like racism and history and, you know, and like, and I don't know, man. Like, I just feel like Killers of Flower Moon is an absolute like fucking, and it's like good and it's fun. Like, it's just a fun movie to watch, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's honestly, yeah, like Zone of Interest is close. Zone of Interest
is
very close.
Like,
but
close.
Like,
what about put the Holdovers at the top? Put the Holdovers just right on top.
Care, man. Whatever, then. I mean, yeah, if Holdovers.
Oh, so I'm just going to make the whole list.
Holdovers is all the way down.
All right.
Holdovers all the way down.
Maestro at the top. Let's just get crazy.
Fuck it, man. Maestro's the best movie ever. I love Maestro.
All right.
No, I think it's Past Lives, Zone of Interest, and then Killers at the very top. All
right, so here we go. Top of the movie. Start top, going to the bottom.
All right.
Killers of the Flower Moon.
Hell yeah.
The Zone of Interest.
Sweet.
Past Lives.
Nice.
Oppenheimer.
Mm-hmm.
The Holdovers.
Mm-hmm.
Anatomy of a Fall.
Mm-hmm.
Barbie.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Things.
Mm-hmm.
American Fiction. And Maestro.
And Maestro.
Man, you are right. Like, American Fiction and Maestro just are like they're just there.
It's like, it's, you know, you see like online rankings and it's just like S tier and then like F tier. It's like those are like in the C or D tier. There's none in the B and everything is in like A.
Yeah, man, we should do that'd be more fun to do like a tier list maybe next time.
Yeah, but that's visual, right?
I guess that's true. Yeah. You can still say like this is an A tier, B tier, but yeah, I think that's
because like there is a like obvious difference in quality, I feel like, between those two movies and the rest
of
them.
Yeah, like these, I feel like. In terms of Oscar movies, I feel like both of those are kind of like D tier.
Yeah. Wow, D tier even.
I mean, in terms of Oscar movies.
Oh,
in terms
I see
of
what
movies,
you're
I think they're both probably like C tier.
Yeah, yeah,
higher.
Yeah. I gave it a C tier, but yeah. But yeah.
But in terms of like Oscar movies, I think it's that. And then like Poor Things and Barbie's maybe like in the B.
Yeah.
Anatomy of a Fall maybe is like A.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of these are A. They're an A plus or something, you know?
Yeah. Holdovers is S. It's triple S.
Holdovers is like, hold on. Let's talk about Holdovers. It's so good. That's a good movie.
I'm honestly surprised how high Past Lives was because I really. It's the little quiet movie man.
It's so fucking good, though.
It really is.
I don't know, man. That's a movie I keep thinking about and keep being like, I want to see the rest of that. I just want to live in that like vibe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, think about it. That is the oldest movie on this list.
Oldest?
I think it came out before Barbie, didn't it?
Oh, did it?
Right.
I think you might be right.
Parasize,
yeah.
Release,
that would be similar to like with, what was it?
Yeah, it came out in the January 21st.
Fuck off. At the beginning of the year.
That's what it says. That's released crazy. Theatrically January 21st, and it made it all the way here. That's like crazy.
That's like what Everything Everywhere All at Once did, where that came out in like January, February, and it just like maintained this level of energy,
exactly.
Which it's deserved. Like this movie fucking rocks. So.
Like this is the one that, like, those are the ones you got to look out for.
That's
right?
True. That's
those
true.
Ones that the Academy somehow remembers because they're fucking stupid. So you got to wait for the ones that, you know, keep, you know, engross them, and they're like, oh man, I gotta remember this. They write it down in their little notebook or whatever, and then they forget where the notebook is, and they find it later when it comes to time.
It is nice. Like, remember, like, I think last year with like Women Talking, we were just like, how the fuck are we gonna watch this movie? Like, I didn't even know this movie was out. Or like Drive My Car the year before, where it's like, what movie is this? I hadn't even heard of this. Like, most of these movies are movies I was either anticipating, had already seen, or like knew about, you know.
I don't know, but Maestro's the only one I didn't know about.
Oh really?
Yeah,
that's a Netflix movie too. That was a pretty pretty
big Netflix, so I don't
yeah that's
don't
fair know. Neither do I.
You know, they can put that up. Wasn't Killers of the Flower Moon also a Netflix movie?
No, that's an Apple TV movie.
Oh, it's Apple TV, really?
Yeah, it's Apple TV.
Netflix. Oh yeah. Man, they goofed up because they got the Irishman.
Yeah, that's right. They had Irishman.
Scorsese's like, I'm gonna go to Apple TV over here. Yeah. I'm gonna go hang out with the morning show.
Ethan's doing a little waddle to try to like represent
Godzilla.
I don't think he knows it's Scorsese.
Monarch fucking show with the Godzilla and the Monarch. I think Scorsese waddles around. I haven't seen him walk around.
Yeah, he's a short guy.
He's a little short guy.
So what do you think's gonna win though? Like, it sounds like we both want Killers of Flower Moon to win, but
I kind of feel like Oppenheimer's gonna win.
I think that's a solid choice.
I think
it's
a safe choice. Yeah. A lot of people seen it. It makes the Oscars seem relevant. It's a good movie.
It's a great movie. I wouldn't be unhappy if it won.
Yeah. I think that's gonna be it.
I think it is. Yeah, I think it's like no doubt it's gonna be that one. But
I kinda want Zone of Interest to win.
Me too. I think it's definitely gonna win.
Actually,
Best Sound.
I want Past Lives to win. I think that'd be that'd be fucking crazy,
wouldn't
it? That'd be
crazy. No, you know what I want to win? Holdovers.
Oh,
fucking Holdovers to win.
Dude,
how great would that be?
Go.
Comfy Vibes 2024,
oh,
baby.
Oh, yeah, finally, Comfy Vibes. Yeah. Go get depressed in the snow.
Yeah, baby.
Let's go get a little sad.
Two guys just looking at each other, giving each other a handshake, crying in each other's eyes.
And you're
eyes.
Like, damn, the handshake means so fucking much.
You want a fucking hug, but they can't because they're men.
They did it. It's too much societal norms.
So fucking good.
Yeah.
Great movie. Oh, there you go, guys. Enjoy the Oscars. Will we be right? Will we be wrong? We're going to be right.
You're going to find out.
We'll have to find out. All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.